17 minutes past the hour of 9 o'clock, and we've been talking to one mum who's been fighting for her child's health, and now I'm welcoming into the studio three others. Very good morning. We've got Lisa Warren, Fiona Fitzsimmons and Rachel Collins. Ladies, you're very, very welcome. Now, the reason these three ladies have concerns that their children are not getting the help that they need, they all suffer from a life-limiting condition. It's called spinal muscular atrophy type 1. Good morning, ladies. First of all, Lisa, can I ask you, just how does SMA affect your children? What is it that affects them?
SMA is a muscle condition. It just really means that there's muscle wastage, and through time their muscles get a lot weaker.
And when did you know that this was happening to your child?
From about 3 or 4 months, she started to refuse to suck a bottle, and then she wasn't meeting her milestones or anything. And then just there was blood done, and then about 6 months she was diagnosed then with spinal muscular atrophy type 1.
And all three of you, your children are all suffering from it as well. You too, Fiona?
Yeah. Children with SMA can't stand, can't walk, can't sit unaided, can't eat, they're tube fed, and have to use breathing apparatus either 24/7 or at night time when they're sleeping. So I suppose when we first got a diagnosis of SMA, you know, very much I thought it meant that my son Noah wouldn't be able to walk, and I thought that it would stop at that. But unfortunately, the children deteriorate day and daily. So, you know, it's a muscle wastage condition, and they continue to have muscle wastage. And really, that's what we're trying to do, is to fight for treatment to try and stop the deterioration and to try and maybe build up some of the lost muscle.
Because I believe, Fiona, that there is a drug, how is it pronounced?
Nusinersen.
Yeah. And it's been approved by Biogen. It's made by Biogen. It's been approved in the US by the FDA to treat the condition. But the Royal Victorian Hospital in Belfast, they have an expanded access programme, but only one child is going to be treated. When did you hear this, and how did it come about?
At the start of the new year, Keelcha was in hospital. She had a collapsed lung, and it was only when I brought it up to the doctors, it was out of my own excitement, you know, that this drug had been approved and we're wondering when we're going to get it. And I was told that one child was actually already receiving it that very day in the next ward. And that was unbeknown to me. I didn't even know the drug was in the hospital at the time. And they says that no other child would get it unless that there was extra funding coming, because there was no more money for them.
So it's just one child is getting this.
Yeah.
And was it literally, as far as you know, on a first come, first serve basis that the one child got it?
We have been told that the reason why the child has received the drug was because the expanded access program at that time was open to children who are 18 months and under. I suppose that's something we weren't aware of at that time, but so obviously our children, none of them are younger than 18 months, so I suppose accepting that, then it was us trying to think how we could move forward and ensure that then our children could receive the treatment. And really, I suppose the thing is, the results are so positive. And I mean, for example, when this drug was trialled, the trial was stopped, and the candidates that were receiving the placebo drug actually received the real thing, received the nusinersen, because it was so promising. So I think with SMA as well, the thing is that when your child is diagnosed, there's no cure. And at the time, we were all told there was no treatment. So we were basically told to take them home. And
that must be absolutely heartbreaking, Lisa. How do you cope with news like that?
Well, you don't really. You just kind of, it's such a shock whenever you're told news like that. And you just kind of, you just search and search, and you do your best to kind of search on the internet and just.
And I think that's the most frustrating thing, is that now that we know that there's treatment there, and this is the only treatment, there's no other alternative, you know, that really we're so desperate to get it. Because the deterioration is day and daily.
Well, we have a statement from the Belfast Trust that says this drug is not licensed in the UK or NICE approved. We continue to be in contact with the families and are working towards identifying a way forward. Does that give you any hope at all, Fiona? I'm looking at your face, and you just look so sceptical.
I'm just about the contact thing. Like, we've never heard anything. We had tried to contact the health minister from
emails, phone calls.
It was actually the 7th of January when I first contacted her, And we never got a reply, nothing. Only until yesterday, I got a phone call to say the health minister wants to meet on Tuesday the 21st. And then on the way up here this morning, I actually got a phone call off the health minister's special advisor wanting to reassure us that they were doing everything they can.
Well, did you, for a start, also, the three of you, I mean, how did you three get together? I mean, to have the three of your children all being diagnosed?
Yeah, well, I had been in touch with Lisa, and then also, we would be in touch, I suppose, on Facebook as well, but also Kielce and Noah happened to be in hospital at the same time in the beginning of January, when we had found out about the treatment. So I suppose that's when we had really... became in contact the most, and tried to think, right, I suppose, admittedly, I was very naive, I have to say, at the start. I just took for granted that whenever I heard that another child was receiving the treatment, I just took for granted that my son and the other children would be the same. Mm-hmm. I didn't imagine that it was going to be this much of a fight.
Yeah,
and I do realise that it is complicated to a certain extent, but at the same time, and I know things need to be put in place and arrangements need to be made, but you know, time is of the essence, and we really need it.
And the frustration you must all be feeling I can't even begin to imagine. You look at your little babies, and
it's like an emotional roller coaster, you know, and. Like I even have said to the girls as well, I work full time. I'm a teacher, so trying to concentrate in school is...
Oh, I can't even begin to imagine how you cope with it. But I mean, it's something I have to admit I hadn't heard of the SMA before until I was coming into, and I was talking to you today. And how rare an illness is it? Do you know?
Well, there's only four in Northern Ireland with it. Mm-hmm. You know, it would be looking for it if there's a bigger number. Maybe you're talking hundreds, and of course, people have to take priority and all. But because there's such a small number, you know, they should all be treated fairly, like they really should.
I think that's what people can't get their heads around. You know, when you're speaking to the public about it, and we've tried to increase awareness, you know, about how positive the results would be if the children could get it. I think that's what people find hard to take in, that they're, you know, there are so few of them. Mm-hmm. But and that is something that we have mentioned to the Belfast Trust, and they are aware now that there are a small number, but it's really just pushing it forward and, you know, making it happen as soon as possible, because we really feel as time is going on that the children are deteriorating. Mm-hmm. More, and you know.
And do you have the children, are they at home or in the hospital, Lisa?
They're at
home at the moment, so. But they would be in hospital very regularly.
Yeah.
Like for example, now my husband, for example, gave up work whenever Noah was diagnosed, and the girls are both at home as well, because it is the children need 24/7 care. You know, it's as much as it's a physical disability, but there's so many complications that come with it. Mm-hmm. So it's just, I have to say, even just talking about the diagnosis, it is like somebody getting your life and turning it upside down. Yeah. And if you can find anything out there that would help, which we feel we have, and we would love to
be able to access it, of
course. You know, and that's really what, you know, and anybody would do it for their own child.
Of course,
you would
absolutely
do anything, you know, and
because
so.
It is a life, it's actually a life-saving treatment. Mm-hmm. You know, if you were knocked down, you would be treated in hospital for your injuries, took this, no surgery or whatever, and we're just being refused a life-saving treatment for them.
It is unbelievable, and listen, I really appreciate the three of you coming in to talk about it today. Do you have other kids as well? Are you?
Yes, I have a 17-year-old.
Right.
But Fiona and I don't. That's our only child. Yeah. You know, our only children.
Uh-huh. Well, listen, I can't even begin to imagine what you're going through. I really do hope that the drug becomes available for the three of you. Will you please keep us posted as to how things are going?
Thank you very much for having us.
Listen, it's lovely to see you, but under such sad circumstances, but I'm delighted that we are able to highlight it, and fingers crossed for you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much indeed for coming in, Lisa, Fiona and Rachel.